And now on Overnights, entertainment with Simon Foster. Oh, come on, let me
entertain you. Yes, the man whose entertainment podcast, Screen Watching, has been voted the most inspiring motivation for World Cup football teams in Qatar. G'day, Simon.
Got us past Tunisia. That's all I was trying to do all year. Yeah,
exactly.
It worked just fine.
Job done. Well, we've got an interesting little menu tonight, if you'll pardon the pun, because the title of our first movie in discussion is The Menu. But before we do that, Simon, a couple of these films that we're talking about are in the horror genre, and this is not the first time this sort of spring, summer we've done it. So I'm wondering if horror and good quality horror films are making a bit of a comeback.
It's an interesting point you make, because coming out of the whole COVID shutdown, and cinemas were doing it very tough, and everybody was asking questions about, are older audiences going to come back? Because, you know, they may still be scared of the COVID problem, or a blockbuster audience is going to come back. What we're finding, certainly in the last sort of 8 to 12 months since the cinemas have reopened, is that horror has absolutely led the way in bringing people back to the cinemas. We've had the big hit Smile, which was in cinemas not so long ago. We've had Halloween do very well for its first couple of weeks. We've had a whole bunch of sort of smaller horror titles sort of punching above their weight. A film called Barbarian, which I loved and which I reviewed a couple of weeks ago, has done very well. So, yes, these are really imaginative, really sort of thoughtful horror films that bring a new perspective to the horror genre, and they've also brought audiences back.
Which is really interesting, because I know the lead time with both film and publishing, as in books, is fairly lengthy. And I've been talking to writers, you know, over the last couple of months, and they tell me that publishers don't want to touch anything gruesome, ghastly or depressing. They want uplifting stories. And I kind of like thrillers and horror movies, and I was thinking of writing one, but that certainly turned me off. But obviously not in cinema at the moment, or maybe we're thinking 2 years ahead.
No, that's an interesting point, because it's almost working in an opposite way with horror films, in that people have been full of fear and full of apprehension, and they want to be convinced that these fears and these anxieties can be worked through and can be dealt with. And part of what horror films do are to let you face your fears, bring up in you all those sort of anxious and sort of heart-pounding moments that may appear threatening, but then 2 hours later you can walk away from and you've dealt with those emotions and those fears. And that's why horror films keep coming back over and over again, and it's a genre that won't go away, because it does have a very cathartic sort of perspective in the way you watch them.
Well, that brings us to, and within the genre, there's been some really interesting sort of offshoots, and one of them's comedy, one's romance, which we'll get to in a minute. But first of all, the comedy, The Menu.
It's a very black comedy, we should point out. This is the story of a young man played by Nicholas Holt, who at the very last minute can't take his date to a very expensive island restaurant, the most upmarket island in the world. So he hires a professional woman, played by Anya Taylor-Joy, to use the ticket. But what that does is upset the plan of the very highbrow chef, played by Ralph Fiennes, because he's got his own plan. And all these people that he's asked to this very posh, very high design kind of food making restaurant, he's got them on the menu, as it were. So it is a very twisting, very turning story, where the upmarket members of our society get taken down a peg or two. It is a horror film, but it is also a very funny black comedy. But be warned, there are a couple of moments in this where it does remind you that its roots are definitely in the horror genre.
Any parallels with The Cook, The Thief, His Wife and Her Lover?
Oh, boy. It's a reference from long ago, and those fans out there of Peter Greenaway's classic film, which has one of the great, or one of the grossest, endings of all time. No, it doesn't quite go that far, but it's in the ballpark.
I actually can't remember much about it, but I did have a cursory look. It's a very arty film, so anyone who's wondering what the heck we're talking about, but Helen Mirren was in it, wasn't she?
Helen Mirren and, Michael Gambon in one of his early roles as well. Yeah. And Peter Greenaway's a very strange director, and he makes some very strange films. And it was a big hit at the cinemas in art house terms, but it was a very strange movie.
Sure was. Bones and all. Gee, I like the sound of that.
You know, when you rattle off these titles to me, I'm realizing that I've chosen some classics for you tonight. So this is the story of a young woman played by Taylor Russell who we learn in the opening of this film that she has a certain taste, and that taste is for human flesh. I can't put it any other way. The film certainly sort of pushes it in your face in the very first moment. And she's known in this underground world as an eater. And she flees her father, who's been looking after her, meets up first with Mark Rylance, who plays this very creepy character called Sully, a fellow eater, but who promises not to eat her. She doesn't believe that, so she hits the road with another eater played by Timothy Chalamet. And they go on this Romeo and Juliet kind of Midwest American road trip in the classic sort of cinematic way, along the way finding unsuspecting types who, you know, they look for people who aren't married or who don't have children, who seem to be just on the fringe of society, and they eat them, basically. But this is a very, actually quite a touching romance mixed with really graphic horror moments. So, boy, it's a strange couple of films this week.
It is, and I must admit, given that as a premise, I'm fascinated to see how it all kind of packages up and what message is in that, but we won't spoil it. Now, here's another one that has caught a lot of attention because I've been watching a bit of rugby, among other things, on Stan, and there's been a lot of rugby being played at the moment, and they're absolutely advertising the you-know-what out of Poker Face, Russell Crowe's film.
Yeah, it's the local streaming outfit Stan, they must have at some point thought this was a bit of a prestige film. And they've got a good history of making good Aussie movies. So they got Russell Crowe on board, who's adapting a young screenwriter, a guy called Stephen M. Coates, who wrote this very clever screenplay. And Rusty came along, saw it as kind of a vanity project, took over, wrote his own screenplay, directed it, wrote five songs for the soundtrack, and what he's managed to do is actually turn out one of the worst films of the year, which is quite an achievement for an Oscar winner. It's the story of a tech magnate played by Russell Crowe who gets all his mates together to try to sort of win them over in a game of Texas Hold'em with very high stakes. There's also an art heist in the middle of this. There's also a cancer diagnosis in the middle of this. There's also family troubles with Brooke Satchel in the middle of this. And all these storylines just keep compounding on top of each other until it doesn't amount to anything at all. So this is a major, major dud for Russell Crowe. And I'm not alone in saying that. I think it's at about 10% on Rotten Tomatoes and critics are savaging it everywhere. So put this one in the better luck next time, Russell, basket.
And once again, Chris Hemsworth's wife appears in a film that's not working. The last one I saw her in was terrible.
Yeah, she was in Interceptor, I think it was called, which was a Netflix title, and she's certainly not to blame in this. She's not for a long time, and she's filmed in a way that I guess could politely be called a throwback to the way some women were filmed maybe back in the 70s and 80s with little respect for their intelligence. And I mean, her introduction of the film is a close up of her cleavage, which eventually pans up to her face. So you see what this movie's going to offer up. You got that to look forward to, lady.
I wonder what Chris Hemsworth thought about that when he saw it.
He's falling back on the mattress, counting the cash. Don't you worry.
Oh, fair enough. Good luck to them. And, as always, next time. Simon Foster, likely for us as well, for the last time next weekend. Looking forward to it, mate. Not the fact that it's the last time, but just talking to you again.
No, I'm looking forward to it too, mate. Bye-bye.